Our text tonight is Genesis 43. Genesis 43, we're trying to make a chapter, a session, and we're doing quite well. We need to realize that operating behind the scenes here is the providential will of God. He's working out His plan. He's taking the Jews out of Canaan and from the evil corruption that they've been involved in, and taking them into a nation, Egypt. And we're going to see tonight that the Egyptians wouldn't even eat with the Jews. So if they wouldn't eat with them, they're certainly not going to intermarry with them. So God is providing a place of safety for His people so that they can grow into a great nation. And that's what this is all about. Sins have brought corruption to the Jewish family. And we know that sin always divides. And God can never overlook it. Now, I want you to listen to these words. God's required righteousness is the righteousness that His righteousness requires Him to require. I better repeat that. God's required righteousness is the righteousness that His righteousness requires Him to require. Simply said, God must maintain His righteousness and His justice. And it takes a lot of thought to go through that and make some sense out of it. So before we begin in chapter 43, remember we have Simeon is being held hostage, and the prime minister, who is Joseph, wants a visit from Benjamin. In fact, if the brothers do not bring Benjamin back, the deal is off. And this is going to absolutely wipe Jacob out. So we begin in chapter 43 in verse 1 tonight. Before we do, as our practice, let's begin with prayer. Father, we pray that we might realize that we're standing before, communicating with the true and living God, the God who is eternal life, the God who is righteousness and justice, the God who is all-powerful, the God who is everywhere present, and the God who never changes. He's always the same. And Father, the God who is eternal life. He was here, You were here, Father, before there was anything. And You created this universe for a purpose. You created this tiny earth for a purpose. And it follows that You created us also for a purpose. So it's my prayer tonight, as always, that God the Holy Spirit would be pleased to teach our human spirits, those human spirits that have been made alive because of our personal faith in Jesus Christ, Your living Word. And may, as we go through Your Word, it jump alive to us. And ultimately, Father, that it will change our lives, change our thinking about You, and equip us to serve You in this hell-like world. And to that end, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we begin in chapter 43, verse 1. Now, the famine was severe in the land. Now, God uses that famine. Ultimately, He's going to bring blessing. And he uses many times fear in us to bring blessings. And it came to pass when they had eaten up the grain which they had bought from Egypt, that their father said to them, go back and buy us a little food. Now God here is using Jacob to stir the pot a little bit. Verse 3, but Judah spoke to him saying, the man solemnly warned us, saying, you shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. Now he's talking about Benjamin, your young brother, Ben. If you send our brother with us, we will go down and buy you food. Now he's talking to Jacob. If you send our brother with us, we will go down and buy you food. But if you will not send him, we will not go down. For the man said to us, you shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. And Israel, of course that's Jacob, said, why do you deal so wrongfully with me as to tell the man whether or not you still had another brother? You mentioned Ben. Why? That's the point. But they said, the man asked us pointedly about ourselves and our family, saying, is your father still alive? Have you another brother? If they were in fellowship with the Lord, this would be some signs. They would get some messages here. Have you another brother? And we told him according to these words. Could we possibly have known that he would say, bring your brother down? Now that should be a clue. But at this point, they're blinded by sin. Verse 8. Then Judah said to Israel, his father, send the lad with me. This is Judah speaking. Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die. We need the food. That's the point. Both we and you, and also our little ones, we've got to have the food. We've got to have the grain. Now look in verse 9. Judah steps up. I myself, this is Judah speaking, will be surety for him. From my hand you shall require him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame forever. For if we had not lingered, surely by now we would have returned this second time. Now, this soothed old Jacob's mind temporarily. And their father Israel said to them, verse 11, if it must be so, then do this. Take some of the best fruits of the land in your vessels and carry down a present for the man, a little balm, and a little honey, spices and myrrh, pistachio nuts, and my favorite, almonds. Now, my favorite's not in there, but that is my favorite. Verse 12, take double money in your hand, and take back in your hand the money that was returned in the mouth of your sacks. Perhaps it was an oversight. What he's saying is, maybe the prime minister will see it as an oversight and not stealing. Perhaps the prime minister will see it as an oversight on your part. Then verse 13. Now this is where Jacob gets real pointed. Take your brother also and arise and go back to the man. Now that was hard for Jacob to say. That's his baby son. He's lost Joseph. Now he has Benjamin. Now Benjamin is in jeopardy. Verse 14. I love this passage. And may God Almighty. How many have heard the character of God called El Shaddai? Have you heard that? Good song, huh? El Shaddai. It means the many-breasted God. In other words, God has many ways to feed us. That's what that means. God has many ways to feed us. The many-breasted God, El Shaddai, God Almighty, may He give you mercy before the man, that He may release your brother and Benjamin. Now that's Simeon. Now remember, they're holding Simeon as hostage. They're holding Simeon as hostage until they bring Benjamin. And then he says, I am bereaved. I am bereaved. That's a father's heart. These are his sons. Jacob is now, I believe, casting all his care upon the Lord. If I lose Ben, so be it. I told Linda tonight, Mary Magdalene standing at the tomb of Jesus and weeping. But there was no body. Why should she be weeping? The tomb was empty. I would be rejoicing. I didn't see a body, but she wept because she loved him so. There is a time to weep, and there's a time not to weep. Notice Jacob's, when he refers to God, he refers to him as El Shaddai, the true and living God. Now, he was up against a lot of pagans who had a lot of different gods used for different reasons. They had a god used for travel, a god used if they needed food. They had a god for this and a god for that. But Jacob had the one true living God. That's very, very important. The Canaanites, like I said, had all kinds of earthly pagan divines. But Jacob saw God as the living God and the only God. And he trusted in Him. Psalm 119, verse 67. The psalmist says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, and the implication is, after I have been afflicted, I keep your word. God brings pressure on believers. Sometimes he brings the pressure on the sheep as a test. Sometimes he feeds the sheep. Sometimes he uses the pressure to draw sheep to himself. I love that passage. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, the implication that I have been afflicted by God, I keep your word. God brings pressure in our life to cause us to be obedient to Him. Now, turn to Genesis 43:15. You got to go back. And look at verse 14, once again, the last part there. If I am bereaved, I am bereaved. So what he's saying is, so here we go. And this is the beginning of Jacob casting all his care upon God. He's saying, basically, whatever happens, may God be glorified. I may be crushed in the process, but may God be glorified. So here we go in verse 15. So the men took that present and Benjamin, that is that present of, he mentioned back up, the honey and the spices and the myrrh and the pistachio nuts and the almonds. So the men took that present and Benjamin. Now, I want you to get this. Now Jacob was willing to let Benjamin go. Now, that's why I said at this point, he's now fully casting all his care upon the Lord. I find that to be true in my own life. There are things that I need to let go. And until I do, things just don't work out right for me. So the man took that present and Benjamin, and they took double money in their hand and arose and went down to Egypt, and they stood before Joseph. Now, that's a tense moment. You can almost hear the music in the background. Here's the brothers standing before the prime minister, Joseph. And they stood before Joseph, verse 16. When Joseph, I love this, saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, take these men to my home and slaughter an animal and make ready, for these men will dine with me at noon. Now, Joseph at this point, I believe, is overwhelmed. He's overwhelmed. He's, for the first time in a long time, seeing his little brother, Benjamin. And my, had he grown, I'm sure. Verse 17. Then the man did as Joseph ordered, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. What Joseph doesn't realize here is God is now beginning his chastising process of the brothers for what they did to Joseph. God is now beginning to chastise the brothers because they're afraid now. They fear. Verse 19, and this is, it says it right here. Now the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house, and they said, it is because of the money which was returned in our sacks for the first time that we are brought in, so that he may make a case against us and seize us to take us as slaves with our donkeys. They're afraid. What I said, God is chastising them. Be sure your sin will find you out. Verse 19, when they drew near to the steward of Joseph's house, they talked with him at the door of the house and said, oh, sir, we indeed came down the first time to buy food, but it happened when we came to the encampment that we opened our sacks, and there each man's money was in the mouth of his sack. Now, they're talking to the steward, not talking to Joseph at this point. Our money in full weight, so we have brought it back in our hand, and we have brought down other money in our hands to buy food. In other words, we're trying to make it up as best we can. We do not know who put our money in our sacks, but this is how the steward responded. Peace be with you, verse 23. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. Then he bought brought Simeon out to them. Now that's, Simeon was the hostage, so he's bringing out now the hostage. Because they have done what Joseph asked. They had brought Benjamin. So now they're bringing Simeon out, who was, like I said, kept as a hostage. So the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their donkeys feed. Then they made the present ready for Joseph's coming at noon, for they heard that they would eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present, which was in their hand, into the house, and bowed down before him to the earth. Now keep in mind Joseph's dream of the she's. Do you remember? The she's bowing down. Your sheaves are going to bow down to my sheaves. That's what's happening right here. The fulfillment of that event is taking place right here. Verse 27. Then he asked them about their well-being and said, "Is your father well? The old man of whom you spoke, is he still alive?" I can't imagine the emotion that's going on here. I just can't imagine what's happening in this conversation. And they answered, "Your servant, our father, is in good health. He is still alive." And they bowed their heads down and prostrated themselves. Again, there's the sheaves bowing down to their sheaves. Verse 29, and he lifted his eyes and saw his brother, I love this, Benjamin. Can you imagine? His mother's son. And said, "Is this your younger brother of whom you spoke to me? Is this Benjamin?" And he said, "God be gracious to you, my son." Now look in verse 30, I love this. Now his heart, this is Joseph's heart, yearned for his brother. Can't imagine. So Joseph made haste and sought somewhere to what? To weep. In other words, it was building up inside of him, and he knew it had to come out. So he was looking for some private place to let all that emotion that had built up come out when he was seeing Benjamin. And he went into his chamber and wept. And I might add, and wept and wept and wept there. Verse 31. Then he washed his face and came out, and he restrained himself and said, "Serve the bread." So they set him a place by himself and them by themselves. Remember, they don't eat together. And the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves. Now here's the key. Because the Egyptians could not eat food with the Hebrews. And that's what I wanted you to understand. If they won't eat with them, they certainly won't intermarry with them. They stay isolated from them. For that is an abomination to the Egyptians. Verse 33. And they sat before him, the firstborn, according to his birthright, and the youngest to his youth, and the men looked in astonishment at one another. Here's what's happening. Joseph is lining up the brothers according to their age. How does he know that? How does he know that? How does he know it starts with Benjamin and then goes right on up? How did he do that? That's a great hint. And if you weren't so blinded by sin and your rebellion, you would have seen that clearly, that something's going on here. Something is happening that's beyond us. He lined them up in complete order. Let me read that again in verse 33. They sat before him, the firstborn, according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth, And the men looked in astonishment at one another, saying, how in the world does he know this? I mean, that doesn't say that, but I get that picture. Then he took servings to them before him, but Benjamin's serving was five times as much as any of theirs. So they drank and were merry with him. There's all kinds of hints in here that the brothers are missing. But what I want you to see is God has started his chastisement of those brothers right now. They're going through it with their fear. They're going through it with their emotions. They're going through all of this. And all of this is a part of God's chastisement of them. Be sure your sin will find you out. So there's all kinds of things going on here. That's what I want you to see. And it has to do with Joseph's dreams. It has to do with moving the Jews out of Canaan into Egypt, into a place of safety, into a place away from the Canaanites and corruption, so they could raise themselves into a great nation. And that's exactly what's happening. God is working a miracle right in front of their face. And back up from that, that goes all the way back to Abraham's covenant promise. When he had that nightmare that he was going to be in Egypt for 400 years. And now we have seen how he's gotten into Egypt. Joseph was used for that purpose. All the king's horses and all the king's men could have not put this together. All the lawyers on the planet could not put this together and made it happen exactly the way God wanted it to happen. This is one of those confirmations that this is the living Word of God. Everything happened exactly the way that it was supposed to. But it's so emotional. I love that when Joseph saw Benjamin. How did he maintain his composure? I mean, I would have just blurted out and bawled. But he didn't. He held his composure. He looked for a place to cry, and there he wept. But he was seeing it all happen. And he was asking some very important questions. Is your dad still alive? And when he finally came, he brought Simeon out of the dungeon, out of the prison, and he took Benjamin to himself. Verse 34 says, and he took servings to them, but before Benjamin's serving was five times as much as theirs. So they drank and were merry within him. Now that would have been another hint. If sin had not blinded them, they could have seen all of these hints and realized what was going on, but they didn't. All of them are hints and beautiful hints, but they missed it because of their sin. Sin blinds people, and sin divides people. But they are receiving now the chastisement from God. That's what God is doing to them. He's putting them through it. And Joseph really doesn't realize that. He doesn't realize that his brothers are now being chastised by God, but they are now going through it. Any questions that you have on what's happened here? The key is Benjamin. Taking Benjamin broke Jacob's heart. I mean, he felt like, he's my only remaining son, my baby son from Rachel. And it broke his heart to have to give him up. But when he did give him up, what it meant was, at that point, he was now casting all his care on the Lord. He's saying, whatever happens to Benjamin, it's of God. I'll take it. And when Judah stepped in and said, leave it all to me, in other words, leave Benjamin to me. I will take care of it. And if something happens to Benjamin, I will bear that burden the rest of my life. That's what he's saying. It's a beautiful picture when it's laid out. I mean, and no man could have put this together. God had to do it and made it all stick together. Now, it's going to be even more complicated next week.